Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry. This was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They have sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I do not want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'll be speaking about the body of Christ. There are many churches around the world where people attend who are not even born again. In Luke 13:18-19, Jesus said, and He said, unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed, and a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Jesus also gave this parable of the wheat and the tares. In Matthew chapter 13, I'm reading, this is Gospel of Matthew chapter 13:24-30. And another parable He put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. Verse 26. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Verse 27. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in the field? From when there had it now tares? Verse 28. And he said unto them, an enemy had done this. And the servants said unto him, wilt thou we go and gather them up? Verse 29. But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat with them. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Jesus explains this parable also in the same chapter. I'm now reading from verse 36-43. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Verse 37. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Verse 38. And the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Verse 41. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of the kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Verse 42. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In the kingdom of God now, in chapter 2, Joseph Hedgecock writes on page 17. This is a very sobering passage. There is a time coming when God will send his son back to set up his literal kingdom. Those who were willing to suffer for his name's sake and are in right standing with God will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. They will sit down with him on his throne, just as Jesus sits at the right hand of our Father on his throne. Every person who has led anyone into error or sin, acted wickedly, or committed iniquity without repenting is going to be removed. We are in a period of grace now, and where people are being given an opportunity to enter the kingdom of God before it's too late. Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and 9, I'm reading verse 9 to 12. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burnt up. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Even those in the church that are born again are all at different levels of maturity in the body of Christ. But it's possible to find people with a heart after God in every church gathering. Paul is our example in Philippians 3 and 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. It can be very confusing if you're trying to work out with your mind who is really born again and who is not born again. But you can easily recognize a true child of God if they have a heart after God, by their attitude to the truth and the fact that they are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Jesus best describes somebody who is really living the blessed life. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and verses 3 to 11, I'm reading, listen carefully. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 4. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and so shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. The people here are blessed because they are dealing with sin now. They're blessed because they've chosen to do what the Holy Spirit is telling them to do. They realize they have a need of God and they cannot do anything without him. They're not judgmental, but pure in heart. They are living in the kingdom where there is real peace despite persecution. Even Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. This is Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. People can even be jealous of the fact that the blessings just keep coming and coming, even get under conviction. We read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 11, verse 19. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. Paul gave his testimony. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm reading from verse 14 to 16. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Saviour of his knowledge by us in every place. Verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. To the one we are the savior of death, unto death, and to the other a savior of life unto life, who is sufficient for these things. You do not have to do any special prayers or command blessings, but you do have to follow Christ. Jesus said in Luke 9, 23, and he said unto them all, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 16, verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. Also, you have the Spirit of truth inside you, if you're born again. In John 1 and 17, it says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. It is through the truth you came to Christ, and we got grace instead of judgment when you humbled yourself and confessed your sins. Now we should continue in the truth so that grace may abound rather than go back to the darkness in order to hide. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10, this is verse 10 I'm reading, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. We should be very suspicious of somebody who does not accept what the Bible says and does not love conviction and the words of truth that Jesus taught. You have to love the truth if you want to be ready for his appearing. Jesus prayed for those disciples to be changed by truth. In John 17 and verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You cannot be sanctified if you are living in the flesh. It will not happen. You will never be ready until you get out of the flesh. You have to like truth and conviction to be sanctified. Jesus prayed for you personally in John 17, 20. Listen to this prayer. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 20. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. You can also read the whole of that chapter in John 17. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7 and 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Paul said it three times in the book of Hebrews. in Hebrews 3 and 8, he says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Hebrews 3:15, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Hebrews 4:7, and again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as he said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Just because someone has been in the church a long time or born again does not mean that they are already mature or further on. Paul had to say to the Corinthians, this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. If someone is tempted to go back to the flesh, they will end up on the broad road, going around and around in the wilderness. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, he said, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Paul had to say to the Galatians that they were foolish. In Galatians 3 and verse 3, I'm reading to verse 9. This is Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it is yet to be in vain? Verse 5. He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, did he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Verse 9. So they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The first family that God started was through Abraham, who was living by faith before the law. And his family was not to be limited to one race or nationality. Abraham lived a life of just obeying as he heard from God. Paul said in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, I read, therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not that only which is of the law, but to also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Abraham is called the father of faith, based on the promises that God gave him. And those who are truly part of Abraham's family of faith, number one, have paid a price with some discomfort for denying themselves. Number two, are following God's plan and calling. Number three, work closely with people, hearing and obeying the Spirit. Number four, live by faith and are called children of Abraham by adoption. Number five, apply the voice of God by faith immediately with soft hearts. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, he said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus was saying here that only the flesh is subject to temptation. The spirit is willing, but it needs feeding. Paul said in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You determine whether the flesh or the spirit is strong in you. The flesh and the spirit are like operating systems. Either of these operating systems can become strong when you feed them. Do not be deceived or surprised if your flesh is still strong. In John 14:26, Jesus said these words, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The flesh uses your mind, but the new nature relies on the Holy Spirit bringing thoughts to your mind. One is based on common sense and reason and logic, and the other on faith in what God directs to the mind. John 14:26 was given to those disciples who were like Abraham. However, like the foolish Galatians, many go back to just the written word because they cannot hear God and then interpret the scriptures using their mind instead. Paul said in Galatians 3:1, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, because before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you?" Jesus is our example, who submitted himself completely to God to deliver him and the Father, raised him from the dead. Jesus' testimony of faith is greater than Abraham because he became the sacrifice himself. But in Abraham's testimony, it was his son, Isaac, he took to the altar. Paul said we should be following the example of Jesus. In Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 we read, this is Paul speaking, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Romans 12 and verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What could possibly take you away from a life devoted to the Holy Spirit and His Lordship after salvation? James says it clearly in James chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 14 to 18. Verse 14 says, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Verse 15, "And then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." Verse 16, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Verse 17, "Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Verse 18, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." You need truth to set you free, not a comfortable life here that's soon passing away. Jesus said to the church in Laodicea, this is the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, "Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked." Verse 18, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that you may see." Verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." If you go back to the flesh, you will become blind. Jesus said you need eye salver if you have become a comfortable Christian, to avoid losing your focus and going completely blind to eternal things. You need to get some clothes to wear for your wedding too. These cannot be purchased in any shops here, but only living the life of faith, clinging to his voice. The more expensive wedding dresses are paid with your life or some suffering. We cannot get in Christ just by saying a prayer. If we get in Christ, it's a life of change all the time. If you do not like repentance, you cannot stay in Christ very long. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passing away. Behold, all things become new. We can only be fruitful by abiding. This is not something that you can do in the flesh. You have to deal with whatever he is telling you daily by the Spirit. This is also testing your faith in his faithfulness and his promises, and not getting under condemnation either. James says this in James chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. Knowing this then, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Churches that proclaim prosperity do not teach it like this. Even the rich people are not happy. But real prosperity in this life is when you stop thinking about what you want ever again. You have godliness instead and happy with whatever he provides. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6 and 6, but godliness and with contentment is great gain. Jesus used the word except three times when talking about entering the kingdom of heaven. The first one is in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. This is Matthew's gospel, chapter 5 and verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Just law keeping or following a form of righteousness based on principles in the Bible does not allow you to enter into the kingdom. The second one is in Matthew's gospel, chapter 18 and verse 3. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Becoming like a little child means to trust God with all your heart and stop leaning to your understanding. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6, and 7, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not your understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You have to believe that he knows best. He knows the end from the beginning. Do not get into doing works of the flesh. Evil does not come from being spiritual. Evil comes through the flesh. The third one is found in John chapter 3 and verse 5. And Jesus answered, saying, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Being born of water is a reference to baptism. And Peter said here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have not done your first works right, this would explain why you have not received the power of the Holy Spirit. You might have received the Spirit just enough to get a new nature, but you still believe a lie that you can be saved without making Jesus Lord. Jesus also said in John 3 and 3, Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. By being born again, You can get to see and even visit the kingdom, but you cannot live there without making Jesus Lord. You have to enter now before it's too late. It is true that everyone who is in the body of Christ must be born again, and they must have confessed their sins. And when you did this, you should have also accepted these things. Number one, your debt of sin was enough to take you to hell. Number two, that if God cast you into hell, he would be right to do this. Number three, the sins you committed prove that there was no good in you. Number four, any attempt to save yourself is wicked, foolish, and of the devil. Number five, your best efforts to be righteous are filthy rags. Number six, your debt was cancelled freely but at great cost. Number seven, Jesus paid the price for your sins personally and willingly. Number eight, he incurred the wrath of God, suffered and died in your place. Number nine, that there is no salvation without you making Jesus your Lord. Number 10, that you were blind, deceiving yourself, and need the Holy Spirit of truth. Number 11, that you would now listen, get to know, and follow Christ. Eternal security is offered here, and Jesus said it in John 10, 27 and 28. He said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand." People get born again looking for eternal security. However, eternal security can only be found by doing these things. One, by becoming a sheep of Jesus, not a lamb. By hearing his voice consistently. Number three, by getting to know him personally. And number four, by following Jesus consistently. We have grace and truth, so if you are making excuses, this will bring you out of his presence immediately. Isaiah 59 and 2 says this. This is the book of Isaiah 59 and verse 2. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Webster in 1828 defined iniquity as departing from the truth. If you start walking with God by grace and then resist the truth, that is iniquity. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?'" Verse 23. "And then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" People in church look at the gifts rather than the fruit today. The devil is the one busy creating hypocrites. In the body of Christ, there is no excuse for not coming to repentance. Some go back to the flesh because they have not seen any good examples, only counterfeits. Many have been told at salvation, "We are part of this great new family." But Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his, and that everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." You cannot just decide to be part of the family of God without truth, daily conviction, and repentance from sin. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 50, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." This is what everyone in the church should have been told. And Jesus said it in Mark 3:35, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother." If you are not born again, then you could not even come close to God to do His perfect will. Some get an early encounter of God's grace, often called the honeymoon period. But this is not an appropriate term. Paul said to the church in 2 Corinthians 11 and 2, he said, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, and that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." The moment you sin again, you'll be out of His presence. However, when you become part of the body of Christ and submit to a godly leader, you are engaged to be married. If you've been walking with God and you want Him to be Lord forever, you have an opportunity to get ready now and to be His bride. Hallelujah. Paul again said in 2 Peter 3 and 14, this is 2 Peter 3 and 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless." The word diligent in Strong's is number 4704. It's taken from other words, and it means to make an effort, to be prompt, earnest, to give diligence, to endeavor, labor, even study. In the family of God, we are getting ready to be married to Christ. So there's no honeymoon. The marriage is yet to come. In the beginning, it's possible by grace through faith to get in the kingdom. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, he said, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Verse 13. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." The kingdom is here now, so that we can get a taste of doing the will of God by the Spirit. This is what it means to be ready. Doing His will allows you to be part of the kingdom here on this earth now. That kingdom has been here on the face of the earth for 2,000 years by the Spirit. Paul described it in its present form when he said this in Romans 14 and 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Even David also testified in Psalm 16 and verse 11, he said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Hallelujah. There is now a transition period to allow everyone to enter before the door is closed. Jesus said in Luke 13, 27 and 28, "But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not from whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." Verse 28. "And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out." Doing good works cannot save you. Paul also said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. I'm reading verse 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God." Verse 9. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before has ordained that we should walk in them." You have to do the works that God has planned for your life instead. And this requires you to hear His voice for yourself and make Him to be Lord of your life. This is part of your first works. The family of God is here to help you do the will of God and not to be condemned with the world. It's not exactly like our families where people are debating and always fighting, maybe. This is a family of God's love. Love is the greatest force on the face of the earth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Love is a fruit of the Spirit that you cannot develop without abiding. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, John 13, 34 and 35, and new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. God is the source of love. You need a personal relationship with Jesus to be able to experience his love for yourself. John says in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. You also have the possibility to increase that love as well. You can do this by keeping his commands and sowing so that you will again reap in the same manner. There are different commands as well. So Jesus has to be Lord of that process. The devil is the source of temptation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with that temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Only God knows the next command for you. So submit to him and work out your salvation in fear and trembling. For more information, please refer to the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. John says in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, I'm reading, verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8, he that loves not knows not God, for God is love. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Hallelujah. It's not difficult to love when you are connected to God. Love just flows, and when it does, then others will see it. God is love, and it will be like a well springing up. John 4:14 says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You cannot get this flow of love just by being born again. You also have to use the gift of eternal life and get to know God by living in his presence. Jesus said in John 17 and verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Everlasting life is not just knowledge or living forever. The gift of eternal life is knowing Jesus now. And when you know he is good, you only need to seek his commandments for your life. John said this in 1 John 2:3-4. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4, and he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. When Jesus came, people could see his love, and that he was different to all the religious leaders. Luke 21:38 says, and all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. People will be drawn to your messages, even when it's early in the morning, if they see love. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 2, "And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them." I believe the greatest need on the face of the earth is the love of God. And this is God's love, since man has been separated from God through sin. In the kingdom, you can sow that love because God is love. When Jesus appeared, it was like this. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, describes it. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. "And the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." If you're not sowing love, you must be sowing in selfishness in this world. You will become more selfish without even realizing. Mankind can even go through decades of selfishness, so that people lose sight of what real love is really like. The body of Christ is a place where love can grow and you can learn from your mistakes and come to repentance. The devil will offer the church a counterfeit if he can. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The devil can easily blind those who do not believe in getting on the narrow way and living in the light. If you choose to live in darkness for the sake of your flesh, repent quickly, because time is running out. Man is incapable of loving without God. You might get some love from God, but a person can just dry up in the time you are here on this earth. In the kingdom of God, there is no shortage of love or a famine like when you were living in this world. Holding on to the love that you have received stops you from getting more in the kingdom. What you give away, you get back. Paul said in Ephesians 3 and 17, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." The Bible records that people live shorter now to stop them from reaping selfishness that they sow ignorantly without the love of God. God is the only one who decides the amount of days you have on this earth. In Job chapter 14 and verse 5, "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." Only God can work out the length of your days that you need to come to repentance, and what time is needed to complete your mission on this earth. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of God, of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." People do not see sin and selfishness as the cause of all their sickness and diseases. Instead, they blame God. And Jesus, when he came, he healed all. We read in Matthew 10 and verse 1, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases." God is not the problem. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse 8. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Everything evil comes from a lack of love in the hearts of men and women. Mankind is corrupt and incapable of being good. Paul said in 1 Timothy 6 and 10, For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Only the love of God flowing through man can really solve all the world's problems. You can even get an abundance of the love of God by serving. Then as you serve others, you get more. You never run out. There is no shortage in the kingdom of God by doing what he directs. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, that ye put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. If you are still yielding to the flesh, then you have not put on the new man. In Romans 6, verse 18, I'm reading verse 18 and 19. This is Romans chapter 6. Paul said, verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. Paul is saying here, it's like flipping a switch at the start. In the same way you serve the emotions and feelings and dictates of the flesh, you have to now serve the new man. That is the emotions and feelings that come from God instead. Romans 6:11 says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckoning does not kill the flesh, but you start by ignoring the flesh or treating the carnal nature as dead, although it's not when you start. It might scream and demand some pleasure later, but you start by ignoring it and counting it dead. You must stop listening to the old nature and put on the new nature. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Those that are sold out for Christ, abiding in him, just in a week or two, will see the old nature disappear. Mark 9:23 says this, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If you want to be part of his kingdom, then you have to learn how to serve and give. Jesus said in Mark 9:35, and he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if a man desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Jesus did not say it was wrong to want to be first, but he did say that it starts with being the servant of all. A servant would be the greatest in the kingdom. So you cannot finish your race or complete your calling in the body of Christ without serving. Mark 10:44 says, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. If you're just starting your calling, then begin as a servant. Otherwise, do not expect to be used in the position that God has ordained for you. You are actually the least if you cannot serve in the body of Christ. When Joseph Hedgecock was called in the ministry, his first job was just holding a long microphone cord for the pastors so it did not get all tangled up. This increased the anointing in the congregation because when the microphone cord was long and got tangled, it caused a distraction and hindered conviction. Later, Joseph got an opportunity to speak and lead the church. Younger men in the congregation sitting on the front row were zealous to speak, but the message they shared was no longer anointed after about the first 10 minutes. Because they'd not learned how to serve. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 23:11, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. In the body of Christ, we need a structure, but all is under Christ because he is the greatest example of love. John 15 and 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The greatest act of service is that you give your life for the body. This is something God might call you to do when you become part of the body of Christ too. Jesus said in John 15 and 20, remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If thou have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. It is good to have some enemies. If everyone likes you, then you're not living in the kingdom of heaven. We need enemies because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies and bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Luke 6, verse 27 says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Luke 6 and 35 says, but love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is a kind unto the thankful and unto the evil. The church often struggles with getting unity, but there is one thing all agree on, and that is Jesus Christ is Lord. However, Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father which is in heaven. The church was a mystery to the Jews. Paul wrote in Ephesians 5 and 32, this is a great mystery, he said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. But the body of Christ, being knit together in love, is still a mystery to the church because they refuse to stop leaning to understanding and make Jesus Lord. Paul said in Colossians 2 and 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. The body of Christ is here on this earth for those who are devoted to becoming like Christ by the Spirit. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Godly leaders are those who are preaching the functional lordship of Jesus Christ, and they are there to help you as servants of God because they hear his voice. Joseph said in Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 2, on pages 36 and 37. He said, he decides where you fit in the body of Christ. You did not decide for yourself, regardless of where you fit in his body. Christ is the head, Colossians 1:18. If he is not the head, or authority, you cannot function in his body as you should. Stop and meditate on this. You are not a viable part of Christ's body if he is not your head and in complete control. If he is not your Lord, you cannot abide in the kingdom of God. Your lordship moves you out of Christ's nature because in the flesh you are the head. Abiding in God's kingdom is not automatic at salvation. If you want to be part of the body of Christ, the first thing you have to do is get out of the flesh. Jesus provided special offices to do the perfecting, but you have to repent of your own lordship. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, I'm starting from Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 and I'm reading to 14. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men, and cunning and craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The devil has to stop the perfecting of the saints. So he has to come up with the counterfeit so that people feel comfortable being part of a church instead of trying to become part of the body of Christ by making him Lord. Godly wisdom and truth is not given to an institution or a Bible college for safekeeping. Instead, truth is given to people who follow Christ and are working out their salvation in fear and trembling. This is another reason why we need a body, so that in a single generation we do not lose sight of at least one person who is following Christ. The training from Apostle Paul started with using his own hands. In 1 Corinthians 4 and 12 he says, And I labor, working with our own hands, being reviled we bless, being persecuted we suffer it. If you have a high calling, you need to be ready too. Number one, do basic tasks with your hands, not always be on a computer. Number two, be prepared to work long hours and not just for more pay. Number three, listen and learn from all situations. Number four, suffer reproach and don't react. Number five, bless those who persecute you for any reason. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is God's way. He is Lord now, and he has provided men and women of God in the body of Christ, those godly leaders who are fathers of the faith. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and 15, For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. The body of Christ is not a club, it's a privilege. You cannot claim to be in the body of Christ without serving in some capacity. You have to supply something by the Spirit to another part of the body of Christ. Otherwise, you're deceiving yourself. Paul said in Romans 5 and 5, And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He is love, and his love can only flow through a real brother and sister. You have to first connect to God yourself. You may have to serve with your hands and make someone else's life easier to function in the body of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 and 14, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Why did you get born again? Was it because you were looking for love and just joined a church? Were you looking for a new family or just wanted to make new friends? Maybe you're afraid of ending up in hell, or you're just lonely. All of these reasons come from the lack of the love of God. God can use these things to bring you into contact with the truth. If you're looking for love, you might find people in the church have the same problem as you. They have the same problem because they have not made Jesus Lord of their lives. God is the source of love. Jesus gave us a command to eat and drink in remembrance of him. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm reading for verses 28 to 32. But he said, But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Verse 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The word unworthy in Strong's is an adverb. For another word, it means just to be irreverent or unworthily. Paul was praying for the Colossians to walk in a way worthy of him. It is irreverent to call him Lord and not do what he says. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 7 to 11. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Verse 8. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. The word discerning in 1 Corinthians 11 and 29 in Strong's is number 2917. It means to separate thoroughly. It means to withdraw from or oppose or discriminate or hesitate. It means to contend or make a difference, doubt, judge, be partial, stagger or waver. Discerning the Lord's body is also discerning who God is using now to correct you and feed you. It's recognizing your pastor and teachers from God and other positions in the body of Christ. Not discerning the people he sent shows you are blind spiritually. You must not withdraw from correction you need. Otherwise, you will be condemned with the world and die early. Paul says, you are drinking damnation and bringing judgment upon yourselves when you take communion, and you will not submit to correction. Many have failed to be who they were supposed to be because they work alone. When you separate yourself from the true body, then you will die early. Birds fly together, so they are less prone to an attacking bird of prey. On long journeys, they can fly at great height with little effort and go long distances in formation that would not be possible alone. There is safety in the body of Christ, unity and strength, but this is not just one denomination. Paul said in Ephesians 6 and 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Paul spoke this to the church. Standing together makes it easier. Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. If you are not submitted to someone, you will end up being deceived. God gave us the body of Christ so that we would not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. A covering is there for your protection. You can repent of many things without being judged by the world. Maybe you do not like hearing me emphasize repentance all the time, or being corrected and being under authority, but this is part of a family. In Proverbs 19:18, it says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Heavy correction comes from hardening your own heart. And David said like this in Psalm 38 and verse 1. A psalm of David to bring to remembrance. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. You need the equipping of someone over you, revelation and godly wisdom through the body of Christ. If leaders are godly, they will. Number one, they will not speak on their own. Number two, they will tell you to study and check everything. Number three, they refer you to verses in the Bible. Number four, they will tell you to study for yourself. Number five, they will tell you to repent of whatever God shows you. Number six, they will not give you a false hope and feed you with truth. Number seven, they will not be talking about blessings, but about obedience. And number eight, they will emphasize holiness and repentance. Do you believe you need to submit to someone? If not, why not? Do you believe that you do not need to be submitted to anyone unless they are perfect? If you believe this, then God will expect you to be perfect. Have you submitted to someone who is good-looking, rich, and never makes a mistake? These are the hypocrites. Jesus said in Matthew 23:25-26, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." Verse 26, "Thou art blind, Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." But the evidence that someone is part of the body of Christ is that they are repenting and they can recognize that that which is being done is coming from the Holy Spirit. You should not withdraw help from such people or oppose the Lord's body. Jesus' church is not built on those who call Jesus Lord, but on those who do what he says. You cannot have a body without a head. So if Jesus is not functioning as Lord of your life, you have not yet become part of the Lord's body. Make sure that you are not holding back something that you should be supplying. If you have made Jesus Lord of your life, you have nothing to fear. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:17, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" You are opposing Christ when you are listening to your own mind and not listening to the head, which is Christ. If you are saying you are part of the body of Christ, but in fact you are not submitted, you are only deceiving yourself. God decides who he uses for his church structure. Jesus' disciples were fishermen and tax collectors. They were not academic. Tax collectors were considered to have sided with the Romans and betrayed the Jewish faith. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Verse 27, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." At the end, there will only be the lake of fire left for those who do not meet God's requirements. I believe God is doing everything possible now in everyone's life to make sure that only the devil and his angels end up in the lake of fire. Jesus said in Luke 18, verses 9-14, "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others." Verse 10, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, and the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican." Verse 11, "And the Pharisee stood and prayed, and thus with himself, said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Verse 12, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes to all that I possess. Verse 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not even lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for every one that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. The word despised in Strong's is number 1848. It's a variation meaning contemptible, despised, least esteemed, or set at naught. The body of Christ is made up of rich and poor, and James said this in James chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he has been made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Verse 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. If you're putting yourself above someone else, then you will be brought low in the kingdom that is coming. Jesus said in Matthew 19 and 30, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now is the time to repent and humble yourself. You may need to apologize to those that you did not esteem better than yourselves because of outward appearances, financial means, or eloquence. This can be anyone else who you despise. Ask yourself this question, whether there is anyone in the body of Christ you cannot serve for any reason. Jesus gave us this example in John's Gospel, chapter 13, and verse 8. But Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him and said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. I continue, verse 9. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Verse 10. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywhere. And ye are clean, but not all. Verse 11. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. In the church today, we should be willing to wash the feet of anyone who is truly following Christ. If you are not willing, then there is a problem in you. Judas Iscariot was not clean, and he was not really part of the mission. And it's important to know who is of the devil and who has a heart after God. Jesus did not clean the disciples' feet every day. Peter was even surprised that Jesus was doing it at all. He probably only did this once. The body of Christ is a mystery that God planned from the beginning so that his will could be accomplished through people living in unity and brokenness, doing the will of God. You cannot just go from the sinner's prayer to becoming part of the body of Christ. You have to first kill, crucify that flesh and start supplying something by the Spirit. Baptism in the early church was only for those who had evidence that they had really embraced the word and changing through repentance. You become a self-learner and produce the right fruit by connecting to the head, which is Christ. This is not based on knowledge and just learning principles. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The false church says today that we have a free will, so we can just use our brains instead. But this does not agree with what Paul preached. Many churches would be offended at Paul, that he claimed to be a servant of God, hearing God all the time, especially when he ended up in prison. Someone might say, the body of Christ is for weak people who need others. But the body of Christ is a place where we can be corrected now, so we will not be judged with the world. You can also grow up and be encouraged spiritually. But you will be corrected if you're in the flesh. And you will experience pure love, not selfish love and hidden agendas. James said in James chapter 5 and verse 16, he said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Jesus Christ is now Lord, and you cannot be saved by just deciding to have him as your Savior. Salvation comes by accepting his authority over your life, trusting him to raise you up at the last day. Only if he is Lord of your life can he save you. If you are Lord of your own life, you are trying to be saved by works, and no one will be saved by works. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to understand how you can operate spiritually without using your mind and grow up, then I recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure you get on and stay on the narrow way. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It is signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road right now. I want to recommend the book The Gilded Prison by Joseph Hedgecock. The revised edition is now available in English. I believe this book will help you get off that broad way and get on the narrow way with daily and regular repentance. I pray as you've been listening to this message, God has touched your heart and you recognize the need to complete your calling. You know that you have to connect, first of all, to Christ. He has to be your Lord. That's why there's so many things wrong in your life. That's why you have the lack of love. Don't look for some connection to others to satisfy that need for love. They will only give you a little bit because they are not the source. And they may make mistakes. So you cannot rely on somebody else. Don't look to others for that love source. If you've been doing that all your life, you've been deceived. Right now, there's only one source of love, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you want to benefit, if you want to experience that love, you have to make him Lord. You have to surrender to him. Why not? You've done it all your life your way, and look at the misery and shame that's come when you've been Lord of your life. But if you turn your life over to him and let him take over and let him make the decisions, can you not see that he is love and that he will supply everything you need? Repent of your unbelief. God is love. If you know this right now and you say, yes, I want to get on that road. Maybe you're already on that way. And you're just beginning in the body of Christ. Then find out who else has a real heart after God. Who loves the word. Who's excited about hearing his voice and obeying his commands. Connect to those people. But then serve. Don't try to get something from those people. Turn it around. Come there with the idea if you can make their lives easier. And you'd be amazed at how much more you will get. as you connect to these people who've made Jesus their first love, who love him and who made him Lord, you are going to grow. You won't lose out, because God will give you a double and triple portion. Believe in God's economics. They are different. Hallelujah. I want to pray with you right now. I want you to make a change in the repent of your selfishness. Repent of your foolish unbelief so that you can save yourself. Heavenly Father, I'm praying for those who are hearing this message for the first time, even for those who heard this before. Father, I pray for them that right now they will make a decision, a decisive act, that they will follow you, that they will surrender all, and they will connect to the source. You are the source. In that, Father, as they serve and put themselves down, they will not be afraid they'll be crushed or trodden on or rejected or left behind. That, Father, that in that act of service and simple submission, even working with their hands, I pray that as they do this, that they will grow faster than all the other people in the church, that people will see the life that comes from serving, and that your spirit will come upon them strongly, I pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that your will be done, that your kingdom really be seen for what it is, because it's more real than what people can see with their eyes. If you've been blessed with this message and you want to get in touch with us, you'll find the details afterwards. There'll be a summary as well, so you can see all the scriptures that we've been going through. And my prayer for you is that you realize it's time for you to get serious with God and to make him your Lord. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful day. God bless you, and thank you for listening. Amen.